Hello, this is Jeff Buckle with the Two Roads and Two Destinies Ministries with you. We're in Genesis chapter 14, still looking at the story of Abram and Lot, how their two stories have tied in together. We're going to be looking more again, well, at the two. You can't separate them. Their lives were intertwined, and we're going to see the comparisons between the two. Look with me, if you will, in Genesis chapter 14. As we go in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for these great examples set before us, Lord, of what to do and what not to do. We just pray today that you'd use them in our lives and help us to walk for you and to be glorified to our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, the king of Elsar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations. These made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, Shemeber, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. Now, these were joined together in the Vale of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled, and in the 14th year Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him, and smote the Rephaims and Ashtaroth, Karnaim, and the Zuzims and Ham and the Emans and Sheva, Kirithim. Excuse me for some of my reading; these words are very hard. And the Horites in their Mount Seir, unto El Paran, which is by the wilderness, and they returned and came to Mishpat, which is Kadesh, and smote all the country of the Amalekites, Amorites, that dwelt in Hazazon-Tamar. And there went out the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, the king of Admah, the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, the same as Zoar, and they joined battle with them in the Vale of Siddim. And Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, Tidal, king of nations, Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elishar, 4 kings against 5. So we see here the first world war, the first great war of nations, 5 nations against 4. And we've made the statement that Sodom and Gomorrah were 2 different cities, and it's proved to us by they had 2 different kings. You might even say they were 2 different nations. And now, Sodom and Gomorrah had gotten a confederacy up, and they were rebelling against the king who had ruled all this time, King Chedorlaomer. Well, he had a confederacy also, and he had more. And they came and they overpowered the people that were on the side of Sodom and Gomorrah. And guess who's in Sodom and Gomorrah? Lot and his family. Now, we said the last time that we were together that he began by looking that way, then going that way, then pitching his tent that way, and now he's there. And now there's a war. And the Vale of Siddim was full of slime pits, verse 10. And the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and they that remained fled to the mountain. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods and departed. Now, Lot had decided to go down into this country of Sodom and Gomorrah to live with these who God's word had said were exceedingly wicked and sinners before God. We saw that the last time when we were together. Well, what happens when you go against the will of God? What happens when you go and you confederate yourself with the enemies of God? Well, it's not long before things begin to shake up and to go wrong with you. Now, Lot has lost everything that he has. He is in the hands of the enemy. His family is in the hands of the enemy. He's hopelessly lost here. Everything that he had is ruined. He's just in ruin. And look at verse 13. There came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew. First mention of Hebrew. Hebrew, a name for the Jew. Abram, the first Hebrew. He dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, the brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. Now Abram, living in the land of Canaan, had made a confederacy himself with these men that are mentioned. And Abram heard that his brother, if you'll notice that term, verse 14, his brother, if you look in verse 16 again, it calls him his brother Lot. Was he his brother? No, he's his nephew. What does he mean, brother? His brother was a general term, I understand, and that would be true that he would be called his brother, but it was also a spiritual term. You know that when a person is saved, they're considered a brother in Christ. If you have two men that are saved, whether they're physically related or not, they're considered brethren. Now, Abram had heard that his brother was taken captive. He armed and trained his servants, born in his own house. Excuse me, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. Now, we're not told how many men were in these other armies, but we do know that there were at least four armies here, and now Abram is going to fight them with 318 men. Of course, he has his confederacy with him. Now, they chase him to Dan, and he divided himself against them, he and his servants, at night, and smote them, and pursued them to Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus, and he brought back all the goods, and also brought back again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. Now, Abram does a military maneuver here, and he splits his forces, and they come down on the enemy at night, and they chase them away. They defeat them in battle. Now, he brought back all the goods, and he brought back Lot, his brother. The Bible tells us that as Christians, if we are tempted, God will always, with every temptation, also provide a way of escape that we might be able to bear it. Lot had looked to the land of Sodom. Lot had pitched his tent that way and had entered the land of Sodom, men who were exceedingly wicked before God. And now, God gives Lot his chance for escape. Lot had his opportunity to leave Sodom and Gomorrah now with all his goods and with all his people. But we never even see so much as a thank you out of Lot to Abram for delivering him. We never see him thank God. We never see him do any of these things. He just returns to Sodom after God has delivered him out of the hands of the enemy. How many times as Christians has God tried to get us back on the right path and we've decided, no, we're going to go on in our own way? Well, because of this particular thing in Lot's life, because he never came back for God's way, we're going to see the utter just destruction of everything that he has, of his home, of his wife, and even the utter demoralization of his children. Now look with me again in the scriptures as we have it here together. Now, the king of Sodom went out to meet Abram after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, excuse me again, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Now, Abram is going to be approached by two kings here. One is the king of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I find this to be interesting, that Sodom and Gomorrah is going to make an offer to Abram when he's really not in a position to at all. Everything that Sodom and Gomorrah had, he had lost in this battle. He really owned nothing. But he comes to Abram and he makes the offer to give Abram of his goods. Well, actually, Abram had earned them in this battle when he retook everything. He could have kept everything that was there. And now he's also met with another king. That is Melchizedek. Now let's look at this. What does Melchizedek bring? He brings forth bread and wine, and he was a priest of the Most High God. Short statement. But we find this statement expounded upon in the Word of God over and over again. Melchizedek, King of Peace, without father, without mother, without beginning of days, without ending of life. He was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And what did he bring to Abram? Bread and wine. When Jesus was in the upper room and he was speaking to the disciples and he says, "This do in remembrance of me," what was he using? He was using bread and wine. So what did Melchizedek speak to us here of? It speaks to us of the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, our King, the King of Peace, the one who brought peace to us, our priest. And now Jesus Christ is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, an everlasting priesthood. This man stands out as such a powerful type that it cannot be ignored. And he brings forth the bread and the wine. There's so much in this. Look, you could take this one character, Melchizedek, and we could do a series on him, just from the basic scriptures that are written about him. But we see him as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a representative of God, to say the very least here. Now he comes to Abram and he says, "Blessed be Abram, of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered your enemies into your hand." And he gave him tithes of all. When Melchizedek came up to Abraham, and as a representative of God, as God's priest, Abram gives him tithes of all that he had. Now, this was representative of the fact that everything that God had, Abram said belonged to him, belonged to the Lord. And we're running out of time here, but the next time we speak to each other, we're going to look at Sodom, the king of Sodom, and the difference of the encounters here. Now, this has been Jeff Buckles with the Two Roads and Two Destinies Ministries, and our prayer is that you are saved today, and if you're not, please do accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Again, it was good to be with you, and we'll see you next time, Lord willing. Goodbye.
If you have any concerns or questions, or just like to talk to us at Good Christian Fellowship, please call us at 879-56-95. This is Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry.